Well, I'm delighted to be here with you. And I just about a minute before I got up here, I was thinking of a story I heard yesterday. A guy got up to share his story. He was in a plane crash, and so he was in a coma for a couple weeks. And he was telling a story to this group of youth yesterday. And he said as he was coming out of his coma, and I guess you do weird things when you're in a coma. I wasn't aware of this, but he fell in love with his nurse, but didn't know it. And he just asked her, he said, "Would you marry me?" And she said, "No." And then he blurted out, he said, "Well, I can do better than that." I guess you say weird things when you come out of comas. I don't know. But that's not really a good way to build a relationship, right? And I think sometimes, you know, as people, we fail to realize the words that we say, how powerful they are. You know, this week we're going to be looking at people's skills, which has a lot to do with how I communicate and with each other, my wife, my children, and how we relate and how we resolve conflict. So we're going to have a lot of fun in the next 2 days. Is that all right to have fun in church? Yeah? Are you sure about that? You guys didn't laugh at my first joke, so I wasn't sure if you were into... It's too early in the morning. Okay, you need a cup of coffee yet. So, but anyhow, communicating and learning how to relate to people is so important. Wouldn't you agree with that? How we communicate and how we learn. And so what we're going to do this next 2 days is take a look at that. It's going to be very practical. And in fact, this morning, this Sunday school period is not going to be very sermon-esque. It's going to be more practical. We're going to look at communication skills. We'll look at some Proverbs because the Proverbs writer had a lot to say about how we communicate. And then at our sermon time, we're going to go into one of my favorite characters in the Bible. My kids always laugh at that because it's like, when I tell them, this is my favorite story in the Bible, they're like, "Well, Dad, they're all your favorites," because I say that every time. And they are, but this is one of my favorite characters, and his name is Joseph, and he's a Levite, and I'm guessing that most of you don't really know much about Joseph the Levite, because you know him by another name. So between now and the sermon time, if you can kind of roll that one around in your mind, think, who is Joseph the Levite? And then I'll try to see if anybody figures that one out by the time we get to the sermon. So there's your little trivia question for the morning. Well, we're going to be looking at communication skills this morning, looking at how we communicate, how we listen, and it's going to be very, very practical, and hopefully you'll enjoy some of the stories and things that I share. But more importantly, that after we're done, this message on how to listen will actually transform the way you listen. See, I'm convinced that a lot of us think we're really good listeners, but the reality is our spouses or friends would tell us otherwise, right? Okay, I got two hands up, all right? So you can double-check with my wife on that one. So before I get started, let me introduce my family to you real quick. If you guys want to stand up in the back, and everybody turn around, and there's my wife, Amy, and my son, Jamin, beside her. He is now, how old are you, son? 9. Yeah, and Courtney just turned 12, and Brittany's turning 14 next month, so... We've got almost 2 teenagers in the house. Thank you. You can sit down, and I'm so glad they're with me. They don't travel with me a whole lot, so it's kind of a joy and a delight to bring them here. I'd like to start out this morning with a complaint letter that General Motors once got. And this one's interesting. I think you'll enjoy this. One of the reasons problems don't get solved is that too often we misunderstand the true nature of the problem. Now, take the following story, a favorite General Motors, about a complaint received by Pontiac. Pontiac's one of the divisions at GM. The customer's letter to the president of the Pontiac division is as follows. "This is the second time I have written you, and I don't blame you for not answering me, because what I have to say sounds kind of crazy. But it is a fact that we have a tradition in our family of ice cream for dessert after dinner each night. But the kind of ice cream varies, so every night after we've eaten, the whole family votes on which kind of ice cream we should have, and I drive to the store to get it. It's also a fact that I recently purchased a new Pontiac, and since then my trips to the store have created a problem. You see, every time I buy vanilla ice cream, when I start back from the store, my car won't start. Now, if I get any other kind of ice cream, the car just starts fine." What would you do if you got a letter like that? What would you do? Thank you. By the way, we've got some notes for you to fill out this morning, and I just about forgot about that. Rick, is it Rich? Rick. Okay, Rich, young man. Rick is going to pass out some notes, and we're going to ask couples to take one per couple, all right? Or do we have more printed ones that came up? Maybe we have enough now for everyone. But I don't know, if you guys all want to fill out notes, my wife loves to fill out notes, so I guess you can take as many as you want. Singles each take one, and couples, if you want to take one for both of you, it's up to you. All right. So we got a problem with vanilla ice cream. The car won't start. Now this man writes in his letter, he says, I want you to know that I'm serious about this question, no matter how silly it sounds. What is there about a Pontiac that makes it not start when I get vanilla ice cream and easy to start when I get any other kind? Well, the Pontiac president was understandably very skeptical about the letter, but he sent an engineer to check it out anyway. The latter was surprised to be greeted by a successful, obviously well-educated man in a fine neighborhood. He had arranged to meet the man just after dinner time, so the two hopped into the car and drove to the ice cream store. It was vanilla ice cream that night, and sure enough, after they came back to the car, it wouldn't start. Guy wasn't loony after all, okay? The engineer returned for three more nights, and the first night the man got chocolate, the car started fine. The second night he got strawberry, again, the car started. The third night he ordered vanilla, and again, the car failed to start. Now, the engineer, being a logical man, refused to believe that the man's car was allergic to vanilla ice cream. So he arranged, therefore, to continue his visits for as long as it took to solve the problem. And toward this end, he began to take some notes. He jotted down all sorts of data: time of day, type of gas used, time to drive back and forth, etc. In a short time, he had a clue. The man took more time to buy any other flavor than vanilla. Why? Because the answer was in the layout of the store. You see, vanilla, being the most popular flavor, was in a separate case at the front of the store for a quick pickup. And all the other flavors were kept in the back at a different counter, where it took considerably longer to find the flavor and get checked out. Now the question for the engineer was why the car wouldn't start when it took less time. Any mechanics here want to take a guess at this one? Okay, and that's part of it, but there's a technical term I'm looking for. I thought maybe one of you guys would want to jump on this one. I think I heard it. Yeah, vapor lock. That's right. Okay, so not the vanilla ice cream was the problem. The engineer quickly came up with an answer: vapor lock. And it was happening every night, but the extra time to take to get the other flavors allowed the engine to cool down sufficiently to start. When the man got vanilla, the engine was still too hot for the vapor lock to dissipate. Now, here's the point. You know, that the folks at GM could have taken that letter, put it in a nice little, glass box or something, put it up on the wall and said, here's one of the craziest letters we've ever heard. This guy's an idiot, obviously an idiot, and look at the crazy stuff that we get into our plant here. And they could have laughed about it, and it could have become the GM joke. Or they could take time to listen and to solve a problem and make a raving fan customer. All right, for those of you that are in business, know what I'm talking about, right? And you know, all it took was some listening. And I'm just convinced that we, especially in this room here today, we have two different species of people. One author actually says that some of us are from Mars and some of us are from Venus. I don't know if you've ever read those books. Okay, I see the smiles. I think some of you have. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and in case you haven't figured this out, just get married and it'll soon make sense. Okay, singles, I'm looking at you now. All right? We think differently, we communicate differently, we hear things differently, and it takes time to learn and understand each other. Can I hear an amen to that? Yeah. And if we don't solve this problem, a lot of times what can happen is our marriages end up in a non-marriage, meaning that we just don't communicate. Oh, we can move our lips, we can have sounds coming out, we can hear noise, but we're really not hearing beyond what's being stated. Now, what we do a lot of times, and I'm not sure if we're going to take time to do this evening or not, we can't do it this morning, but I put people into like a back-to-back situation. They put their chairs back-to-back, I hand out schematics, and then I give each person a chance to communicate what's on their sheet of paper to the person sitting behind them. And you should see what people reproduce. They're not very good listeners. And their photocopy does not look like the sheet that the person was communicating from. Why? Because what one person says is completely heard differently by the person who's listening. All right? It's difficult to communicate. I think sometimes we think it's easy to communicate, but it's actually very difficult. James chapter 1. Verse 19. Oh, here's my Pontiac, and I forgot to throw that up there. All right. So that's the exercise, and I don't know if we'll do that tonight or not. We might. We'll see what happens. But James says this: everyone should be quick to listen. Say it with me. Slow to speak. See, most of us don't have a problem speaking. What we have a problem doing is what? Listening. And so we're going to spend most of our time this morning talking about listening. Research actually shows that we hear only half of what is said, and we only understand half of that. That's what research says. We hear half of what is said, and we only understand half of what is actually spoken. Stephen Covey says we need to first seek to understand and then to be understood. And I think that's good advice. I remember when my wife and I in Thailand took the Covey seminar years ago, and Stephen Covey brought up a tree hugger and an NRA. I think it's, who are the NRA guys? The rifle people, right? The National Rifle Association. He brought one of these gun guys, Bambi shooters, I call them. Okay, now you know I'm on the tree hugging side. I'm just kidding. All right, so you got the tree hugger and you got the Bambi guy over here, and he just puts them at each other and he says, all right, we're going to coach them on how to listen and communicate. It was one of the funnest things we ever watched. Can you imagine? Okay, so these guys went at each other, a lady and a guy, and boy, he had to kind of move, you know, wade in there and separate them all the time and get them to learn to first seek to understand. You know what? The tree hugger had some good points that the rifle Bambi shooter guy needed to hear. And he had some really good points that she needed to hear. But you know what happens is we have our ideas and our opinions, and they're so strong, and we believe in them so strongly that we even close off the potential to hear anything that other person has to say. And what we're actually doing is we're stripping that person of the value that they have. They may have something to contribute to us, but because we are not listening, that is the difficult part. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Did you know that 70% of an executive's time is spent listening? All major CEOs, Ken Blanchard wrote a book years ago, it was a bestseller, sold over 1 million copies, called The One-Minute Manager. It's very small. How many of you have read that book? The One-Minute Manager. Nobody? Okay, it's all right. If you're a manager, you need to read it. It's a good book. But you know what the most important guy in the company is? It's the guy that sits in the room with no desk, just a chair. And he sits there and he listens to people and he thinks and he processes. Listening is so important. Executives should spend at least 70% of their time listening, and it's a skill for which they receive absolutely no formal training whatsoever. All right? We need to learn to listen, but we don't take that in college. We don't learn how to listen. That's not a skill that we receive a lot of formal training for. The reason most marriages fail today is because couples have not learned how to effectively listen. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book, Blink, talks about thin slicing, and he says this is one of the reasons why marriages fail today, is because couples are not listening. And what they did, there's this research, Gottman did this research, Malcolm calls it thin slicing, but they would take video clips just from marital counseling situations. They would take like a 5-minute clip, and they would bust that thing down into little micro clips. And they would study each little second of that. And sometimes they could take just 10 seconds or less of a marital counseling session, and they could make predictions whether or not that marriage would succeed. And you know what they would look for? Well, look at this lady here. What's she doing with her eyes? There's contempt. She's looking at her spouse going, And they figured out all they had to do was to do this fine slicing, watch the eyes and how they would move, and they could make predictions, and they were pretty accurate. Years down the road, those marriages would end up on the rocks. If there was contempt in the way they communicated, just by watching the eyes, what the eyes communicate. Let's look at some general facts. On the average, people speak about 125 words per minute. And now you're into your notes, okay? So if you want to fill in the blank, you can. If you want to just listen and watch, that's fine. On the average, we speak about 125 words per minute. A person can bring in and retain about 400 to 600 words per minute. What does that tell you about listening? We can communicate about 125, but we can actually bring in and actually retain about 400 to 600. All right? It's a documented fact that people can hear up to 10 times faster than they can speak. A person communicates only 7%, folks, by the words that he or she speaks. Yes?
I've restated the papers in the wrong order.
Okay. All right. So it should be under a title called Communication Skills. And that's probably my fault. I was down there when we were doing this. So just shift through the papers. Number one, 7% by the words that he or she uses. Now, I would think it'd be a lot higher than 7%. But that's what documented research is telling us, that by the words that we share that come out of our mouth, only 7% is in the actual words that we're speaking. 38% by how we say those words. 38% by how they come out. And 55% by our nonverbals. That's our body language. Okay? What is our body saying? How is our posture as we're speaking to people? Okay? Remember, behind every smile is a row of teeth. Let me give you an example. A parent speaking to their child. Okay, you've got a one-year-old. Okay, the terrific twos. Let's go with a two-year-old. And they're learning to crawl. They're learning to walk. And they're moving toward the hot stove. And they're about 20 feet away. Okay, they're on the other side of the kitchen. But they see the stove. And you know that's what they've seen. Okay, moms, you know what I'm talking about. And they're moving in that direction, right? And so what do you say to them? No, Thomas. No. You just say the word no. Because you're trying to teach in the terrific two period. Some call them the terrible twos. I think they're terrific, right? Fun. Okay, so you say no, and you're trying to have that child know that no means no. And so they're moving, and all at once to get closer, what happens to your voice? No, Thomas. Now your voice starts to raise, and then what happens when they get about 1 foot away? You start running across the kitchen, jumping up and down, going, no, right? And that gets his attention, if nothing else does. 55% is in your nonverbals. How you say it. And it's interesting to me that a lot of times when people aren't being understood, they'll raise their voice a little lower, a little higher, and it actually turns off communication. I'm talking when you're arguing with somebody. There's a really smart guy at the beginning of our century by the name of Dale Carnegie, and he said this. He said, you never win an argument. Never. Never. He who's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can raise your voice, you can get louder, you can get in his face, but you've lost it. In fact, the more body language you use when you're arguing, the more you're going to lose it. So our nonverbals and how we say it is so important. You never win an argument. You lose a friend in the process. And if you back somebody up against the corner, you can even prove them wrong, but you've lost a friend. And in their heart, little Tommy may be sitting on the chair, but in his heart he's standing up, right? Yeah, your parents know what I'm talking about. Communication is challenging. Many of us have a tendency of speaking too much. We tend to say too much. The Proverbs writer talks about that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. He who holds his tongue is wise. The Living Bible says it this way. Don't talk so much. Don't talk so much. You keep putting your foot in the mouth. Be sensible and turn off the flow. We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak, said Epictetus. We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Now, why is communicating so difficult? Well, because of differing backgrounds. We come from completely different backgrounds. We have a different set of values in the home that we grew up. And I always hear this at weddings, and I think it's kind of silly, but they talk about the way you put the toilet paper on and the way you do the toothpaste. Have you heard these at weddings? Aren't they getting kind of old? All right. I've probably used it a million times. I don't know. But you know, we do. We just have weird little idiosyncrasies that we bring into our marriages, into our relationships, and it's just different. And I remember in Asia, where we lived for 10 years, we would teach our short-termers over and over again, culture is neither good nor bad, it's just different. It's culture. I mean, obviously there's some things in culture that are not so good. I agree with that. But I'm just saying, a lot of times, the way you do it, or she does it, or he does it, or whatever, it's neither good nor bad, it's just different. And these differing backgrounds, these different ways of doing things can create some huge problems. I mean, think back to that first year or two of marriage, some of you older ones, all right? The silly arguments you had. Now we look back and we laugh. Well, hopefully we laugh. Hopefully we work those out. All right. Differing backgrounds. Speaking without thinking. You know, we're good at that, aren't we? Okay, I'll have to put both hands up again. Way too many times, something just blurts out of my mouth so quickly. I don't think before I speak. Another one that makes communication so difficult is attitudes. What is the attitude that I have? And I come into a situation and my attitude's just rotten. Nothing can go well. Okay, and I think it's Chuck Swindoll who said that attitude is basically 95%. I think it's about 95%, he says. Attitude is 95%. And lastly, communication is difficult because of poor listening skills. We just don't have listening skills. They're poor. We kind of turn it off, we ignore, we'll look at some of the different listening skills. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame." He who answers before listening, it is his folly and shame. So what are some styles of listening? First of all, we've got the judgmental listener. Okay, and these are people, and sometimes we have to be judgmental, but sometimes we listen, and we're only trying to make a judgment call. My wife sometimes will tell me, "Luke, don't try to fix me." Do you ladies ever do that to your husband? Just listen to me. Just listen, okay? Don't make a judgment call on this. I don't need that right now. I just need you to listen, okay? And so many times we're judgmental listeners, especially guys. We want to fix everything, okay? And we'll make judgment calls on everything. Then there's the interrogative listener. This is the guy that's always asking questions, okay? And just question, question, question. And by the way, questioners are good listeners. It's not a bad thing of listening. Sometimes we need to be judgmental. Sometimes we need to ask good questions. But sometimes a person just asks questions and you're kind of going, "What's up with this?" You ever run into those people? Yeah? Okay. Got at least one person who's with me. You guys need your coffee? That's all right. We're good. We're good. The third one is the advice-giving listener, kind of like the first one. This is a person with all the answers, and they've just got an answer for everything, and they've got something to say into every situation. They're constantly giving advice, and sometimes we need to be advice-giving. And then last of all, this is the one that we want to work with the most this morning. That's empathic. What does it mean to be an empathic listener? Who is an empathic listener? What does empathic mean? All right, let's look at some barriers to listening. First of all, being preoccupied. Okay, have you ever been preoccupied? You're on your phone or you're on your computer and your child comes into the room and you go, and your child just asked you if they can go out tonight and hang out with somebody you don't want to, but you just said, because you were preoccupied. Or they just asked you to hand over the credit card, and you said, No? Okay, all right, we got at least one again. Same guy back here. All right? We're preoccupied. Our minds are somewhere else. Or how about this one? My mind's already made up. Anybody ever come into a situation, you've already got your mind made up? And by the way, sometimes our minds ought to be made up. I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying, these are barriers to listening. You really can't understand what they're saying when your mind is already predisposed toward one thing. You can't listen. You can't hear a thing they're saying because you've already got your mind made up. How about this one? Interruptions and distractions. We had this fun little thing yesterday at the youth event. I pulled out my cell phone and I showed all these young people. In fact, I recognize, I think, at least one of you here this morning. I can't see where you are right now. Right over here. Weren't you there yesterday? Yeah. You remember that cool thing we did with the cell phones? We had everybody pull them out of their pocket and I showed them how to push the power button. It was so much fun. Now listen to me for a minute. I know I get carried away and this is a pet peeve of mine. But have any of you experienced this where you're talking with somebody and their pocket's buzzing and you know it's buzzing? Not just because you hear it, but because you've lost them. Listen to me. We are more connected than ever before, but we are more disconnected than ever before. We can't even have a relationship anymore because we have text messages going off in our pocket telling us to pick up eggs and butter at Walmart. And that message is so important. Or we have another Facebook message coming in that's so important. Somebody went off to Starbucks and we just, had to know that, I guess. I don't know. Twitter. People tweet about the silliest things. Are you with me? And this noise. We are so surrounded by noise. People can't even get in their cars anymore without turning the radio on. I got to have something going all the time. Buzz. Noise. Interruptions and distractions. You know what? They're telling us in the business world that they are losing so much productivity today because of our technology that's supposed to make things so much more efficient. That's supposed to connect us, make things so much more faster. Now we've got guys like Seth Godin saying, you know what, you got to turn off your cell phone, turn off everything. If you want to go in and get some productivity done for 3 hours, you got to turn it all off. You got to tell your secretary, I'm not taking nothing. No calls, nothing. I need to get something done. And I'm just saying, folks, when we go into listening mode, you go into a meeting, if you're meeting with somebody at the coffee shop and you're talking about something important, if you're with your spouse and you're having couch time or whatever it is, then turn it off, okay? This little power button, it doesn't take much energy, just a little push. We put it on silent, we let it vibrate or whatever, but that buzz instantly gets our mind away. Are you with me? Now see, I can tell you this and you can all nod your head and go, yeah, that's right. But money's going to come tomorrow. What are you going to do about it? You know, we used to not have cell phones, and we got along just great. We got a lot more done, some of us did. All right, I'm done. You can all say amen. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Okay. Allowing our minds to wander. Okay? Allowing our minds to wander. And you know how it is with your one-year-old, right? They're just blah, 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 blah. And so you just kind of look in them, but you're off in la-la land with them, right? And sometimes it's okay to let your mind wander, especially when the salesmen keep calling. So that's all right. Or having a lack of interest in the subject. You know, as a speaker, and I travel, and I get into different situations, and I run into dairy farmers, and I love dairy farmers. But, you know, sometimes they'll monopolize my time at a church, and I want to talk about some different stuff, and they want to talk about their dairy equipment. They go on and on and on. I don't know why I'm picking on dairy farmers. There's no dairy farmers here, are there? Okay, good. We're safe. Oh, we have one right here. I'll talk to you afterward. We're good. I'm just picking on dairy farmers right now. But I find it interesting. Sometimes we monopolize people by going on and on and on, and maybe the person's not interested in that. And by the way, I'm actually interested in dairy equipment. I've asked a lot of questions. I learned a lot from dairy farmers. And I think as good listeners, we need to learn to listen. Okay? In order for us to have any kind of influence in other people's lives, we need to first listen to them, seek first to understand, then to be understood. But think about the times where we have caused the lack of interest, or where you and I were not interested, so we show no interest. Okay, I'm guilty of that. I should listen more to the dairy farmers, so I'm going to have some time after with you guys, all right? Lack of interest is a barrier to listening. Or there's a defensive reaction. You've got this thing that goes, and instantly you just kind of, oh, tree huggers, woo, you know, I'm not going to hear a thing they've got to say. Because you're just against those people, all right? I heard a great sermon this week on my way up to Canada. He was just saying how we have picked all the wrong enemies. We don't realize that our and I'm getting off tangent right now, so you don't have to listen. You just shut this off. But we don't see that our warfare is spiritual, and so we actually make people our enemies. We make abortion doctors our enemies. We make the gay community our enemies. There's a spiritual battle going on. They're not our enemies. They're people that Jesus died for that we must love. And there's something else going on, and we pick our fights wrongly. We defend ourselves against people, but it's not people. They're not our enemies. All right, we got to move on. Sometimes we assume. We already have these assumptions. We think we know where the person is going. Has that ever happened? I know what they're going to say. I know exactly what they mean. But you don't. I have run into false assumptions over and over and over again. And I think maybe a good example of this is when you first meet somebody, who call it first impressions. You know, they're just lousy. 3 weeks down the road, you go, oh boy, I really had some bad assumptions. Let me show you something here on assumptions real quick. We're going to do a simple arithmetic. I know you guys don't normally do this on Sunday mornings, but just for some fun here, if liars can figure and figures lie, I'm going to throw this test up real quick. We're going to give you a minute to do it, and then we're going to have some response. All right, you ready for this? This is based on assumptions right here. Okay, anybody want to take a stab at one? 4 times 27, he says, is not a true statement. 4 times 27 is what? 108? Do y'all agree with that? Okay, so we got one right here. What's another one? Second one? Over here? This one? This one here. Do you agree? Yeah? What's 243 divided by 3? 81, not 61, right? Okay. All right. Anyone else? The last one, this one right here? Sorry, this one? Okay. 213 minus 23 is what? 190, right? 190 divided by 2? Anybody agree with her? No? Sorry. You just failed your math test. It's all right. It's okay. The second column? This one here? Okay. 242 minus 12 divided by 3. See, right. Do you agree with them? Is that one a wrong statement? You all failed your math test. Okay, what do you do first? Division or subtraction? Division, right? Yeah. You always do your division and multiplication first, so that's 4. 242 minus 4 is? Okay. Where is the third one? Remember, this is on assumptions. What are you assuming about this test? You're assuming that I gave you correct instructions, aren't you? And I said there's 3 false statements, or actually 2. Okay. All right. That is a bad joke. I know. But I actually did this in Malaysia one time. And some, I don't know, engineering student or mathematics major said, you know what, that actually, you can't do that. He had some big philosophical term about you can't have a false, I don't remember what it was. So I guess this test is completely bogus, but I think it makes the point. We assume a lot of times that when we meet and talk with people, that what they're saying, what they instruct, that all the ducks are in a straight line. And sometimes we have these assumptions about them, or that they're not in a straight line, whatever it is. Just like this test, you assumed that I was telling you the truth in the beginning. There's actually only 2 false statements, but that third false statement is the instruction. So let's move on. All right. So how do we overcome these barriers to listen for effective communication? I think we need to get involved in the discussion. All right. Listening is not just something that you passively do, but you lean forward. You get involved in the discussion. You ask some questions. You communicate. You reflect back and forth. Ask questions. Ask open-ended and probing questions. All right. How did that make you feel would be a great question. All right, when somebody's talking to you and describing an incident or whatever, ask feeling questions. How did you feel when that happened? Get them to express emotions. All right, guys, this is a good one for us. Because our wives especially have feelings and emotions, and sometimes we just kind of ride over those. All right, how did that make you feel? Seek clarification. Let me tell you what I'm hearing you say. Tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? So they told you something, reflected back to them saying, here's what I'm hearing you say. Is that correct? Clarify. This is good in business as well. Sometimes we think we've got the deal going through, but what we're hearing or talking is not the same thing, all right? We're not on the same page. Reflect those feelings. This makes people feel really good when you reflect back to them. You know what? I can tell you really feel deeply about this. And maybe even getting a little bit of emotion in your own self, and you kind of get into their skin and you begin to feel with them. I think it's easy for us a lot of times to rejoice with those who rejoice, but to weep with those who weep is very difficult. But you know what happens when you begin to weep with those who weep? When you show emotion, people are sharing something deeply with you, they feel understood. They feel heard. They feel valued. And guess what? When you can get into that deeper communication of listening, that's when they're also willing to listen to what you have to say to them. Think about this with your children. All right? Something I've got to work on all the time. Do I really, really feel what they're feeling? Use alert body language. Alert body language. What's your posture like? Okay, if you're slouched in your chair and you're kind of sitting back, and they're not going to feel like they're very important to you. Lean forward. Use alert body language. Maintain that erect posture. Lean forward if you're seated. Maintain eye contact, all right? Did you ever talk with somebody and their eyes are wandering all the time? Do you feel like you're well listened to? Now, I have to be careful with this. In Asian culture, that doesn't work. You're not supposed to look at people in the eyes, okay? So I had to change this for Asians. But here in America, this is so important that we have eye contact with people. We're looking at them, that they know that they're important, that they see us looking into their eyes. All right, maintain eye contact. Remove distractions, all right? Okay, what was just removed from this guy? Yeah, he's got the earbud thing going on. And now he's taking it off, and you got to remove those distractions. Stop what you're doing. Give the speaker your full attention. Disconnect your phone if that's what you have to do. Turn off the stereo or the radio in the background. Find a quiet, private place to carry on that conversation. Move it from McDonald's to somewhere else, all right? Find a place that you can really listen if it's something deep that you're talking about. And periodically summarize. What we're talking about here is empathic listening. What you're saying is that, okay? Reflect back to them and then acknowledge criticism without reacting to it. Okay, I think so many times when people are sharing something with us and maybe they're critiquing something we've done, we tend to have this defensive reaction, but we need to learn how to accept it, what they're saying, without reacting to it. Okay? Acknowledge the criticism. Say, I hear what you're saying, that you understood that I did. Just acknowledge it. It's okay. All right? See, I'm convinced that if we listen first, if we show somebody that we value what they're saying, then we win the right to speak back to them. We have to learn that we have to win the right to speak into their lives. What time am I supposed to be done? Right about now? What time is this over? I've got about 5 minutes more. We good? Yeah? Okay. All right. There's different levels of listening. You can just simply ignore people. And sometimes you got to do that with salespeople. Okay? You can ignore them. All right? You're supposed to laugh at that. I'm guessing there's too many salesmen here. All right. You don't get phone calls from salespeople? Don't put the phone on the counter and walk away. All right. You can do the pretend listening. And sometimes you need to pretend to listen. Okay? Especially if a speaker's pretty boring. All right? Show them that you value what he's saying, but, you know, you're off solving other problems. But sometimes we're bad. We just pretend that we're listening with our children, especially. How about selective listening? We kind of choose and pick. And again, sometimes selective listening is a good thing. We can only... Sometimes we need to take in. We're good at multitasking these days, and that's okay. But these different levels, we need to understand when we're working with people, we need to build up to what I would call attentive listening. This is good, but it's not the highest level. The highest is empathic. Not where we're just attentive, but we're empathic, and this is where we're involved. We're feeling emotion. We're trying to hear what they're saying. We're getting into their skin. We're reflecting back to them. We understand the emotion that's going along with it. Stephen Covey once again said, everyone's life is so singular, so unique. Who will listen to understand that uniqueness? Do you really believe that every person that God has created is made in His image? Do you believe that? Do you see the uniqueness of people as a strength? Or do you wish that we were all homogenized? I don't think so. I mean, can you imagine how boring our world would be if we'd all look like Pastor Jerry? All right, Wes, that would be worse. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Okay. It's good to see you, brother. You know, I am so glad that God made us so different. And those are strengths. And if we can realize that everyone's uniqueness is actually a good thing, they bring different ideas. One of the most powerful things, and since I've already taught you math, let me teach you another one. 1 + 1 = No, it doesn't. It equals 3. Thank you. 4, 5. I like to teach on synergy, which is when you bring 1 + 1 together, you don't just have two ideas coming together. You've got 1 + 1, and they build on each other. They create 3 and 4 and 5 ideas, don't they? We need to understand that uniqueness brings strengths to the table. All right? And so, I know you kids are excited about that when you go to school tomorrow and tell your teacher, he said 1 + 1 is not equal to 2. Isn't that great? Okay. Synergy. We need to see people as unique, important. Empathic listening is playing the role of an interpreter. When Pastor Jerry was introducing me and he said, some of you have seen me, I was thinking of this, going, I wonder how many of you have seen the video of the language in context. Anybody here have seen that? Yeah, because most places I go, people go, oh, he's that guy with the mixed up or messed up theology. And if you haven't seen us, we're on YouTube, but you can actually get it on DVD now. But my friend and I in Asia, we did this thing a number of years ago where I was the American preacher and he was the Asian translator. And I would speak Americanese English, you know, things like the Holy Spirit will sweep over you. That doesn't translate very well in another language. And so the script said, my friend said, the Holy Spirit will hit you with a broom, okay? I mean, how do you translate that in another culture? God will sweep over you, right? We think that's just common language in English. Or we might say things like, it's raining cats and dogs. How does that translate another culture, okay? So my friend says, small furry animals start falling out of the sky. All right? And so we do this really humorous skit, if you're interested in seeing it. An interpreter reflects exactly what they hear. And then you can check, are they saying the same things that I'm feeling? All right? An empathic listener reflects back like an interpreter. And then you know whether or not they're really hearing what you're communicating. Okay, and this script makes a really good point. So go to YouTube, look up language and context if you want a good laugh this afternoon. We really play the role of the interpreter. We need to learn to listen with our ears, our eyes, and our heart. Okay, our ears and our eyes and our heart. Those are the three parts of ourselves that need to be invested heavily with our listening. Okay, usually we think it's just our ears. But our eyes, we need to be watching that other person's body language. What are they really communicating? And then last of all, our heart, feeling, getting inside them and their skin and trying to understand what they're feeling. Have a caring attitude when you're listening, okay? A caring attitude. People don't care how much you know. Finish it. That's right. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. We need to learn how to sincerely desire to understand. Get down on their level. Sincerely say, I want to understand what you're saying. Lastly, Stephen Covey says, the one who listens does the most work, not the one who speaks. And I'm going to leave you with one practical thing yet. Simply seek to understand. We don't agree. We don't disagree. We don't even offer solutions as empathic listeners. We first just try to seek to understand. That's the most important thing. And then we win the right to speak. Listening is the most important thing. I want to leave you with one last thing here yet. And this is just a practical thing. You can do this at work. You can do this in your families. I think this is an idea that we can try anywhere. But have a powwow, okay? Find out what are the real issues at work. Find out what the real issues are in your family. Find out what the real issues are in your church. By having everybody come and put on blindfolds. And then in that circular meeting, tell people they can say anything they want to say. Bring up anything they want to bring up. And see if people can really learn to listen to each other. You might find that to be pretty interesting in your next business meeting, Pastor Jerry. Or your next family meeting. When people can verbalize and they're not really seeing. Just try it. See how difficult it really is to listen and how hard people will try to use their words, okay? So that's just a practical thing. If you want to take this to the next level, we're too big a group, and I can't break you up into small groups. We don't have the time for this. But this is just a practical way to take this and apply this. Have some fun at work this week in your next meeting. Just put everybody in blindfolds and talk about some of those hot topics, those hot-button topics, all right? You can have some fun with that, right? Just an idea. All right, let's pray, and I'll turn it back to you, Pastor Jerry. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and for the writer of Proverbs who has already alerted us to the fact that we need to learn to listen more than we need to speak. And I just pray, oh God, that you would take the words that I've shared this morning and some of the images and some of the concepts that we've talked about And that we wouldn't just say, well, that was really cool and that was good stuff and I learned something, but that we would take this to heart and begin to apply this as we listen to our spouses, to our children, to the people at work, people here in church. God, sometimes we have such strong opinions that they override everything else that we can't even listen to what the person is trying to communicate. And we cut off that uniqueness. We cut off that strength that they could be bringing to the table because we're not good listeners. Father, I pray that we would learn to listen, to really listen with our heart, with our eyes, and with our ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.